SRN, Survival Radio Network.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, ho, ho.
Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms here on Survival Radio Network. The SRN Biz of the Week. Attention Atlanta listeners. Join us April 30th, 2016. The Men of Vision Tour is bringing top speakers in leadership, community, and development to the Cobb Galleria in Atlanta, Georgia. This powerful lineup of speakers include Dr. George Frazier, Dr. Reuben West, and, of course, the Men of Vision, will educate, motivate, and uplift men and women of all ages, background, to all to come out and create an opportunity and change. If you ever felt like you were lacking a vision or provision, and if you felt like life was moving forward without you at the wheel, then this is a tour for you. Registration is required to attend this event, so go to www.menofvisiontour.com. Again, that's menofvisiontour.com for more details. And, of course, tell them the SRN sent you. Do you have a message you wish to get out or a cause you want to inform others on? Well, you can be like our author, Andrea T. Harris, author of the book of Seasons of Life. Since her connection on the garden, she's become a nationally recognized author of Christian literature. So add your book to our book club and see your garden grow. What a great time we had in Greensboro this weekend. Thank you, Ariel Germain, Director of Marketing, Winston-Salem State, for selecting the restaurant 1618 downtown Greensboro. That was one block away from the historic Woolworth store where the students from North Carolina A&T led their famous protest. It is now an international civil rights museum. So anybody who knows me knows I love to get some education as I travel. So, again, a great networking event. And if you would like us or me to have a connecting event in your city, please inbox me at MoniqueAJSmith@AOL.com or MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info. And just down the road from Greensboro is Winston-Salem State University, and they hosted their second annual She's Got It Covered event. Bidding fitting the female scholar athletes, we saw hats and more hats, and an inspirational message from Latasha Koya Clark, Olympic medalist. And interesting enough, her message falls right in line with a chat in the garden. She says that we must plant seed in good soil. So are you good soil? Are you receiving? Are you ready to receive this good word? And then, most importantly, you follow what you plant. And this is why we post all the great significant things that happen on the garden, because when we plant a seed in you, we want to be able to show your sprouts and your blooming. And just because you may plant the seed does not mean that you may be the person to water it. So that's something to remember, that, yes, we are loyal to our mentors. It does not mean that we cannot be replanted, okay? So let's remember that. And when you invest in others, you actually invest in yourself. You better yourself. Because remember this, when you stop sowing, you stop populating. And we want several, many, and more women of color in athletic administration. So we will. And also while we were there, we had our very own Chat in the Garden hat contest called the Most Blooming Hat. And you guessed it right. The hat had to have a flower on it. And the winner was Katricia Verrett, the Associate AD in North Carolina A&T. So thank you to her for participating, and she did have a flower in her hat. It was good to see other institutions come out and support Athletic Director Tanya Walker, who raised, in combination of her male's event that was 2 weeks before, but for the month of January alone, she raised $100K. Now, that is a way to start 2016. We want to send good thoughts to Angie Turing. She was supposed to be our guest today, but she had death in the family, so she's with her family doing this bereavement. And her chat will take place sometime this summer, and all is well. 2016 is new chips, new year. What will you do with your new chips in 2016? Will you hold them or grow them? Chips in this case are skills, and when you hold them or grow them, stay in the same pot or repot yourself so you can continue to grow and to win. This month, we're going to meet some women who decide to repot themselves and continue to grow. Today, I have the honor of sharing someone I met as a freshman at Dear St. Paul's College, where she was a three-sport scholar athlete. She excelled as a student athlete, she excelled as a coach, and she excelled as an administrator in historic CIAA conference and served on two NCAA committees. This summer, she had taken her talent to a city that is 30 minutes train ride from the windy city of Chicago. Meet Linda Bell, the Associate Athletic Director for the University of Wisconsin, Parkside. Welcome to the garden, Linda.
How are you?
Do you hear your tears?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much.
Well, I am going to remain, I'm going to pinch myself and remain as professional as possible and shed no tears. So let's jump right on in from your career path from college to your current position.
I can even take it back a little further. Just starting off in high school, I really wasn't an athlete. I had my physical education teacher ask me to play softball. I can remember in gym we used to just play and throwing balls, and she was like, oh, you can really throw. And in middle school, I had just moved to Virginia from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and, you know, as a city girl, you just outside playing with a bunch of kids. There's hundreds of kids on one block.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played softball, and then she encouraged me to play basketball. And I was like, I can't even play basketball. The only two sports my brothers would ever let me play is baseball and football. And mm-hmm. in each sport, I would be the quarterback, or I would be throwing the ball, running a base or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on and played, made the basketball team. I was excited about it. But one of the things that was my motivator is wanting to not just go home and sit around the house, because now I'm from the city to a mm-hmm. small town. So being able to play sports was something that I really, really enjoyed doing, because now I'm engaging with other students. And not only that, the head coach at the time was Roland Lovelace, and he was just more than a coach. He was more like a father figure to me. So one of his messages was that, you know, we had to go to college. It was a must.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for us to want to go to college, we have to be the best in the sports that we are playing.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't be second best. And from that point on, just hearing him year after year from middle school to high school just tell us that that's the only option that we have is to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And I never looked back once he said that. And I always told my family, you know, I'm going to college regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to meet Darlene Williams and that journey to go to college, she went to St. Paul. I actually had an offer to go to Longwood College, which was, 30 minutes, 40 minutes from St. Paul?
Mm-hmm.
But I just made a choice that I wanted to be at a smaller institution where it was people that looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
So as I started that journey to college, I can remember the first day I was like, what have I got myself into? Because, you know, every time you make a transition, nobody really tells you what the next transition really looks like. Mm-hmm. They said you must do it, but they don't tell you what it looks like
mm-hmm.
or what it feels like. So I was like, okay, what did I get myself into?
Mm-hmm.
So basketball was my love. I played all the other sports. I just wanted to be the best at whatever I was doing because my basketball coach would always say, you got to be the best at whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that resonates, no matter if you may not be the best athlete in it, but you can give your best.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, you know, time and time again, you'll end up on the top because you're always giving your best no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And with good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So playing volleyball at St. Paul was different. It was different from high school to the next level. But when you start playing with people who actually know the game and kind of know and kind of tell you what to do,
mm-hmm.
instead of receiving it like, why is she trying to tell me what to do, more receiving it like an instructional.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have player coaches. That was the situation we was in, and it was okay. I enjoyed it, and I wanted to make sure I was giving my best. So I got to get, you know, some accomplishments there in college, in which I've never been a person who wanted the limelight ever. I've always mm-hmm. felt like in my, again, I'm going back to my high school coach who always talked about being humble in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me. It's about what I can give to other people. So college sports wasn't about me. It was about me finding a job. It was about me giving the institution my best and doing mm-hmm. my best in something that I came there to say and signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really look at that as a way of me saying, even to this generation, when you sign up for something, you give it your best.
Mm-hmm.
So as I went on through my career, I'm still going back to my high school coach, Roland Lovelace. Anything that I do, I have to be good at it. I have to be good at it. I have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I try very hard to do everything with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And I only can tell my truth. And sometimes my truth may be just my opinion, but it's still just my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so going to Livingstone, for example, well, let's start back with my Division III experience. Who did I let talk me into it? You know, did I want to be a coach? I don't think so. I really thought I was going to be a business teacher. I really loved my business teachers in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did my work study and came to your office tons and tons of times when I could have been doing something else, but I felt so engaged into athletics that I wanted to know every part of it. And when you start meeting people in athletics, it's no stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And athletics always need help.
Mm-hmm.
You can always take a person's two hands and say, hey, I got some things for you to do. And if you love athletics, just not only as an athlete, you will find that it is
mm-hmm.
it's so refreshing, you know, because mm-hmm. every day is different. It's never the same. So being able to sit down with you days after days, and watching you do what you do and actually watch you love what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't get to say they love what they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just in a job.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to watch you love what you're doing was something that I said I have to be doing if I'm going to do it. So I did my student teaching, and I was just like, oh, my God, I don't think I want to be teaching. even though the kids were great, I did it at a middle school in Lawrenceville, and I was like, okay, middle school is not it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I substitute teach after I did middle school in the elementary school, and then I realized, hey, this ain't for me. The kids running, hiding, not wanting to get on the bus. I got to take kids home. I was like, nope, this is not for me. But my love was still athletics. So
right.
when I believe his name was David, he was the AD, when he came and I got to help him be an assistant coach for him with basketball, you know,
mm-hmm.
he really opened my eyes up to not only was he kind of, he was a good person,
mm-hmm.
but he was willing to let me grow.
Mm-hmm.
In that assistant role, and he gave me a lot of responsibility that I took very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And
David Johnson was his name.
Yes. So he really, you know, I haven't kept up with him in the years, but he really gave me a lot of responsibility to say I can go into this stage of athletics. So when you asked me about a head coaching job, I can't remember what I said to you, and that was my senior year, and I was like, what? It was a little nervous, but I still took the chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went down to the interview, and I only know how to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a dominant family of women. They just only are themselves,
mm-hmm.
nothing different. So that part of me is just true to my core about being who I am always.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot apologize for being who I am. So went through the
interview. So now with Division III school, what was the name of the school?
It was Emory and Henry College.
Mm-hmm.
The AD at the time was Lou Wacker. I'll never forget him. I think I interviewed for the position probably a month later. I was still in college, and they told me I had the job.
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited and on the same time scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, do I really know this sport?
It was softball, right?
No, it was volleyball.
Oh, okay.
I started off as volleyball. So when I got there, I looked around. I'm like, okay, there's nobody like me here. So coming from a predominantly black institution in the HBCU world, I was trying to figure out how do I get not only the respect, but how do I teach these kids when they probably going to be able to teach me? I'm 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
So you had to try to get buy-in, and you, right.
Yes. So one of the things I did, and you learn your skill from what you learn in college. You learn
mm-hmm.
your educational piece, because the talent you bring to the table, you know, the know-how and all the things that, you know, Virginia Russell taught
yes.
me, how to go deep into your brain, even when you think you gave your best, it's still not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember saying, okay, we're just going to play. I watched these girls play for about a week or so,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure it out in my head, mm-hmm. because now there's two different styles of volleyball that I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a teacher, sometimes you in a classroom and the kid asks you a question and you don't really know the answer, and then you turn the question back on the kid?
Yes.
I promise
what
you.
What do you think?
So I can promise you, probably about 3 weeks into that, you know, I got all the answers that I needed because I kept turning the questions back on them.
Mm-hmm.
So education helped me get through that first year. Now, mm-hmm. when I got Emory and Henry, they was the number 13 team. And that first season, we finished out number 4, so the kids were excited.
Ooh.
So
well,
we went from
I
number
gotta,
13 to number 4.
Wow. And so I got to speed this up just slightly. So you went from coaching volleyball first year, doing that, to eventually, I don't know how many years later, winning CIAA championships. In volleyball, and you end up being on volleyball committees. So between the time you first began, you became a elite teacher in volleyball, and to championship rings.
Well, the motivation for that, because you got to remember, when you first start off, you don't even know why you're in the career. You know that you love it, but you don't know, you know, you don't connect the dots.
Right, right. Did you hear the implement help somebody else grow? And yeah, right.
Yes. So I can remember a football coach at Livingstone coming to one of my practices, my first year there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what kind of practice was that? And he really tore into me about my practice and about
mm-hmm.
being engaged and about what
mm-hmm.
it really means. Older coach, so I said, okay, I get it. So I was a little steamy at first, but I understood at the end of the day, because, you know, you always need that motivational piece and your learning piece. And so we kind of talked about some things. And so from there, my light bulb has always been, I got to learn more,
mm-hmm.
I got to read, I got to professionally develop, and I got to ask questions. And Ingrid Wicker, Dr. McCree, I even said a couple times, even if you don't want to be my mentor, you're going to be my mentor. Because at that time, I was still 25 or so.
Mm-hmm.
I was still, they were in the business a while and on different
mm-hmm.
levels of it. So I only could do is shut my mouth and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened and watched, and they had veterans at the time in the CIAA, and it was good volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched, learned, started being members of the ABCA, you know, doing all those things to get you to the next stage outside of just getting your educational piece from the CIAA. Now you start
mm-hmm.
branching out.
Mm-hmm.
And not until I got to Elizabeth City, there was a diversity piece that I saw there.
Mm-hmm.
And being that I'm already professionally developing, I saw that that was one of the questions that the president asked me, what did I want to do with this volleyball team? And I said, I want to diversify it. You have the ability to do that here.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to do that, not only do you diversify, but you bring the kids a great athletic experience. And
mm-hmm.
that's what it's all about ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It's about giving the students a great athletic experience along with their education.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get them to love their university.
Mm-hmm.
And when they love their university, what do? They give back.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good conclusion with that. Now, I met one of your mentees, one of your new mentees.
Okay.
I went to the She's Got It Covered event.
Okay.
At my table was a young lady that just won the CIAA championship as her second year at Winston-Salem State University. Her name, Linda, help me out.
It's Andy. Andy Henderson.
Yes, and she mm-hmm. spoke so very highly of you. She said she remembered you when she was in college playing, and you found her then. So you're planting your own seeds.
Yes. So Andy was in high school, and she actually went to the same high school with the setter that we won the championship with.
Okay.
So was looking to recruit her, and actually there was a club team called the Swahinis that the guy that ran this club, this particular team, was in Havelock, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He had a diverse group of kids. Their parents were in the military. They traveled the world. So at this time, these kids are now looking to be stationary.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an opportunity to look at one kid, brought her in, and after her, I had four or five that was able to follow. And not only were they good kids and come from great backgrounds, but they had good parents who supported them. And I know sometimes when we talk about college-level play that the parents should just be in the stands cheering them on, but
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that, because in D2, on a small college level, it's a family environment, and family environment means the kids' family as well.
Mm-hmm.
They supported my program 100%. You know,
mm-hmm.
I had parents willing to give up their scholarship to pay for their child and let someone else get a scholarship.
Wow.
So when you have that, it speaks volumes about what kind of people that, you know, you bring to your program. And character is everything.
Mm.
So you definitely have to make sure kids can be great athletes, but their character and their family background has to fit your program.
Okay, so that everybody can follow who may not know you. So you went to Emory Henry State for 1 year, went to Livingstone College State for how long?
I was there 6 years.
Then you went to Elizabeth City State University and stayed how long?
I was there 11 years.
And
11 years.
This summer you trekked across country to go to Wisconsin.
Yes. I am
but before
here.
We get to Wisconsin, before we get to Wisconsin, because
mm-hmm.
everybody who doesn't know you, okay, she's a coach. When did you decide to put down the whistle?
Well, initially when I got to Elizabeth City, I was really there strictly to coach. 6 months in, or not even 6 months in, the compliance person decided that this is not what he wants to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they was like, Linda, can you help us out? And I thought help you out means get us through the year. Because as I'm coming from Livingstone, you know, I was the only one experienced with compliance. So I'm thinking, help you out for the year. I was okay with that. Okay, yeah, I can help you out. But that what happened 11 years later, I was still a compliance person.
Uh-huh.
So needless to say, you know, I have two daughters, Nia and Lainey. When Nia, you can see the potential in her as a volleyball player, and she loved the sport just as much as her mama. When she went to the ninth grade, one of the things I asked my volleyball players at the time was how many of their parents got to see them play every high school game and every kid raised their hand. And I asked them, was it fair for me to miss any of my daughter's games and coach a game?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make a mother decision in the same time knowing that I still loved athletics and I was doing compliance, and thank God for the matching grant.
Yes.
So Miss Addie Griffin, I was talking to her about it, and she was like, hey, we can go for the matching grant. And so she wrote that grant, and we was lucky enough to get it, and that allowed me to be able to move on from volleyball to being a full-time administrator, in which it was the best decision of my life because I got to share in my daughter's accolades.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to, you know, and I got to be her mom and still give my services and self, not to just 15 girls on a volleyball team, but now to the whole entire 156 athletes that Elizabeth City had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was worth it because now I get a broader picture.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but now I'm sitting at the table because this position allowed me to sit at the table in every aspect at Elizabeth City State University. So now I know not only am I doing my compliance job, but I'm learning every aspect of how the university works with the athletic department.
Hmm. Well, if someone else was considering that, you would say consider something that is temporary. Well, you're permanently a mother, but it's temporary that they will be playing.
It'll be temporary
so you want
that they'll
to,
be playing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you
but you
wanna,
have to know. I knew, I could remember going to a tournament in West Virginia, and I could remember watching one of the coaches, and I called one of my kids over. And this is the year we're winning the championship, and I said, I am not a lifer volleyball coach. I'm just telling you, I looked at the coach. She was an older woman, and I was like, I can't see myself at 65 throwing a ball up in the air. I just couldn't. And
mm-hmm.
I also knew this. My kids used to tell me, Coach, everybody is always in your office. Everybody says you spoil us. Everybody says you give a lot. So I kept thinking, why am I just giving myself to these 15 girls who is enjoying life here? Who is
mm-hmm.
enjoying their college experience, who all graduated, who all have great jobs. Why can't I give it to everybody else? And they understood
that. And honestly, that's how I've always made my decisions about making that next step. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I could do more for more people. Mm-hmm. It's rough. I mean, it was heart-wrenching to leave St. Paul's College. Mm-hmm. April had to drag me off the campus. I was boo-hooing. I couldn't even see straight. It took me years to come back to the campus because I'll go down 858 and I'll just start boo-hooing. Now, you would think I was a St. Paulite. I'm a Hampton University graduate. But, yeah, so, yeah, you have to, when you plant that seed and you know you're investing for someone else, it makes it easy. Now, my goal was, if I can just see your class out, it was six of you all that came in together, and the lady who recruited you, the last word she told me was take care of my girls, and then she passed on to heaven. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got this mark on me to do this. I'm going, okay, I got five of them out, and I think you were the last. You came out in 96?
Yeah, I came out in 96 because I did my student teaching.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I was like, okay, that's the last of them. I've done my duty. And here's April looking at me like I'm crazy. You're leaving me. I said, that wasn't the deal. I had to go.
You know, and that's where when you tell kids things like that, they do hold you to it. Because I know at Elizabeth City, that was one of the toughest moves I had to make.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, Coach, can you just wait one more year? I got one more year. I said, if every one of y'all keep coming in here telling me I got one more year, I'm going to be here 30 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Because my relationship with these students and my connection with these students, it's always going to be. So I have to move on now because God said it's time for me to move on. It's time. And so me making this move to Wisconsin, it's life-changing. I left an era where everybody perceived me as a coach, even though I was working in administration.
Oh.
And so now you have to change people's mindset of how they see you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you because my name is Coach Bell in the CIAA. My name is Linda here, Miss Bell here. So no one knows me as a coach. So that's 18 years of coaching in the CIAA. Mm. And you know it's hard for people to let you go and take you serious on that next level, no matter what your work looks like.
Mm-hmm.
They still perceive you as a coach, and that part of my life is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm taking steps to move forward into the next venture. My athletic director here, Tammy Day Falk, when we met, she said, if you don't want my seat, I don't want you as my associate.
Wow.
And most ADs cannot say that. They say that to their candidate.
Mm-hmm.
She has been transparent. She's been honest. She's been open. And there's no idea that I shoot at her that she's not open to hear or try or venture out to.
Mm-hmm.
She knows I have a child here.
Mm-hmm.
She has been, I mean, overwhelmingly supportive. I can't think of a place where I can say, I don't have to choose.
Uh-huh.
Where some places make you choose, I don't have to.
Well, I want to talk to you more about how did you find out or discover or be selected to know that you didn't have to choose. We're going to take a short break here on a Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith on Survival Radio Network. When we return, we're talking with Linda Bell.
Warning, professional sports don't make millionaires. Do you work with athletes who dream of someday playing professional sports and you want to provide them with a tool to understanding the business side of professional sports? Then look no further. The book, Warning, Professional Sports Don't Make Millionaires, is the training guide to the business side of professional sports. The game-changing book can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and visit our site, www.warningprosports.com.
The administrators and staff of the Southwestern Athletic Conference congratulate SWAC Woman of the Year, Cassandra Riviera of Texas Southern University Women's Golf Team, and our 2015 NCAA Woman of the Year nominee. You are a wonderful representation of the student athletes here in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. On behalf of the senior women administrators and athletic directors, congratulations, Cassandra. A season is expected to be different from what came before, and it is by its nature temporary. Life's journey provides seasons, and it is when we grow through them that we are changed in the process. Order your copy today on growingthrough.life, a Volume 1, Seasons of Life Changed in the Process by Andrea T. Harris.
Parents of aspiring collegiate student athletes spend large sums of money on strength coaches, speed coaches, and position coaches. You need the eligibility coach to help you navigate the eligibility and recruiting processes so that your son or daughter can become certified to receive an athletic scholarship. Call us today at 919-408-7431 to schedule your complimentary consultation. 919-408-7431. Eligibility coach.
Hey, sports fans. Join me, your host, Natalie Hicks, for Speaking Sports from Her Perspective. We can be heard each and every Saturday and Sunday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., 8 p.m., and 2 a.m. We talk about it all from the Cedar Hill Longhorns to the University of Alabama Crimson Tide, to the Cowboys, Mavericks, and so much more. That's Sports from Her Perspective, right here on the Big Game Christian Sports Network. That's bgcsports.net. Hope to see you there.
M&A Chronicles, stories of pitfalls, passion, and purpose that result in payday, is a collaborative effort of six women who offer stories of faith, anger, restoration, fear, divine purpose, and breakthrough. Get ready to go deeper. Get ready to have new life breathe into your dreams and aspirations. Nothing is accidental and all things are working together for your life's purpose. If you are a mother, businesswoman, minister, entrepreneur, community leader, or a change agent, you will find solace in these stories and hope for your journey to payday.
The S.R.N.
Well, welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chat in the Garden, where significance blooms on the Survival Radio Network. So let's talk about your role at Parkside. What are your responsibilities?
Well, as the Associate A.D., I also oversee compliance, so I am doing the compliance component. I also have sport oversight of wrestling, softball, and men's soccer. So these are sports that, one, I played softball, but wrestling, men's wrestling, and men's soccer is something that is new to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I am learning all about new sports, and it's enlightening.
Well, I do know that you did serve on the NCAA's committee for softball and volleyball. Did you happen to know this institution prior to submitting your application?
Absolutely not. One of the things I did when I started actually filling out applications, my daughter was maybe in 11th grade. I really wanted to move on by the time she graduated. I have been on my own since I was 15. I don't think a lot of people know that. And there's nowhere in the country that I don't think that I can survive.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the sport that I coach. It's a diverse sport. And I'm open. I'm not closed to one thing or another. And I want to learn and I want to grow. So in order to do that, you can't do it in the same place all the time. You have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know anything about Parkside. One of the guys that was on the committee, he probably mentioned Parkside a couple of times, but I never even thought anything else about it.
When you say committee, you mean your NCAA Division II championship committee, right?
Yes, my championship committee, Jason Holt. So we just, I mean, never thought anything about it. I just knew the location. And every time I fill out an application, I look at the location, see what is near. And I always kind of have an idea that I want to live near a major city, but I don't want to be in the major city.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be able to get to it within a 30-mile radius. So, you know, Wisconsin offered me that opportunity to be able to, Parkside offered me the opportunity to be able to do that. So it was, you know, a good place for me to, app. Most people thought, okay, it's cold up there. You don't even like the cold. That's true and true. No, I don't like being cold, but I park my car 3 steps away from the door, and I got a garage, so I'm not in the cold that much.
Okay.
You know? So, and this year, the weather's been really great, so I told him I brought the North Carolina weather with me.
Oh, right. Well, speaking about North Carolina, did you leave your daughter?
Yes, I did. It was her choice. She was going to college. So it didn't matter if I stayed in Elizabeth City. She wasn't going to be home anyway. So, you know, I talked to her about it. And she was like, Mom, I'm not going to be home anyway. So just go where you want. And the good thing about when you have a kid as an athlete and you take them to camps and you drop them off, they don't have that separation issue.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter went to camps around the country. So she understood, and she was okay with it, and now she's at Fayetteville State, and first semester was a trial and error, but she did well academically, and now she's moving on to her second semester, and I actually talked to one of the administrators, and they was like, oh, my God, Nia looks like she's growing up. So when I make her take care of her business, I don't do the helicopter parent. She has to take care of her business.
Hats off to you for that. I'm telling you, the helicopter parents, that name just has come about now. But back when I was in college, the helicopter parents were football player parents. And so the kids become adults, and they think everybody's supposed to move and jump. And I'm like, okay, this your business. Take care of it. So, yeah,
and that's exactly what I tell her. When she calls me, I'm like, I didn't sign up to be a freshman in college. You did. So
right.
you have to exhaust all possibilities. So, you know, I'm asking, I work at a college. So I'm asking her the questions that I would be asking a kid who's sitting across from me.
Mm-hmm.
And now when she's exhausted all of her possibilities, then I will step in. And there are some moments where you have to be mom, so they'll still know, hey, is my mom still in there? But, you know, I still have to get her prepared as a young woman to move forward in her life.
Wow. So I know, so share with some of your initiatives that you have going on while you're at Parkside.
So we just talked about a couple of things this past week, and as we do, we have a departmental meeting every Monday. And so one thing I was just telling my bosses about is women's wrestling. I'm still fascinated about it, and I kind of giggle about it because it's not my world, so
I'm
just intrigued to learn more about it. Did a Title IX workshop with a gentleman, and he coaches women's wrestling at the high school. And he was telling me the age groups that the kids start from, kindergarten. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, kindergarten? You know, so, and his one of his graduates will have wrestled for him from kindergarten, and she's a senior this year. I just can't believe it. So I'm excited about it, and I'm, you know, trying to reach out to him now about hosting a women's tournament here at Parkside to open up people's eyes and to women's wrestling. And we have a wrestling team here who's very good. So I think that we can bridge that gap right there between the community, because I do believe in supporting the community and the community supporting the institution that you're in.
Mm-hmm. So let me be clear. Parkside University has men's wrestling.
Yes, they have men's wrestling. So we don't have women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to open up the eyes and see what can happen in the near future if we want to add women's wrestling. We got to see how popular it is in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about trying to host this tournament and see where we can go with it.
And see, I think this has to do with your Title IX training, because you do know if a school that's near you, in a radius near you, that's a high school that offers something, and that you have a certain number of population that comes from the community, that means you cannot use the prong of meeting the interests of.
Correct.
So I think that your education in that alerted you to that. If you did not have that background of doing EADAs and educating other administrators of how your institutions are meeting Title IX, you would not have your ears perked up, go like, okay. But instead of thinking it's an obstacle, you think it's an opportunity to educate. Because if
correct.
I always taught, mm-hmm. in order to influence, you have to educate.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's why I'm always open to growing and learning. You know, we don't know all in this business. And as you professionally develop in these workshops, it's always nice to and refreshing to learn and be educated on some things that you don't know. And moving here and just the different sports, men's soccer, women's soccer, just engaging in those activities, you know, you learn to fall in love with those sports, even though my daughter played soccer. But it's, now I'm on a different side of it. And I'm dealing with different, you know, a different world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really enjoying my time here. Everybody that I see, they always say, Linda, you look so happy. I said, listen, I go to work happy and I leave happy. Who does that in athletics?
Yeah. And so something else I wanted to talk about, and I thought that I was hearing wrong. You said that you all charge for your cross-country meets.
Yes, we do. We have a national course here on campus. It's well taken care of. We have a staff that runs it. We charge $5, $7, or whatever it is. But you will be amazed. This is a state of runners.
Mm.
So any given track meet, we can have 1,400 runners out there. And you can imagine, if it's a high school, and they want to host or rent our facility and we charge at the gate, an average kid is going to bring mom and dad. But let's talk about the brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unbelievable of the number of people that actually come out to a cross-country meet and the
mm-hmm.
money that you make in a two-hour span.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. And it's nice because on nice days you get to – these parents track their kids on the cross-country track, you know, course. So they get to see them actually running in different areas. And the first time I saw it, I laughed because I was like, okay, I see parents running down the hill. Some of these parents are going to tear their ACL trying to get to the kid before the starting line, you know, goes off, before the buzzer goes off. And by the time the meet is over, the parents are, like, just as exhausted as the kids. It is so funny. They run behind those kids, and they love it, and they come back the next weekend. And every weekend we host a cross-country meet, and the money is phenomenal.
So this is high school cross-country, not collegiate.
No, and actually our collegiate as well. We start. So we host. Every weekend we host is either our meet or It's a high school meet.
So, my brain goes into creative mode here. So, if the parents are almost passing out, do you have concession stands?
Yes, we do. So, one of the things that we did was each outdoor sport has their own concessions. This is a fundraiser for them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for instance, I'll give you two examples. During soccer, they have another team that runs their concessions. That's a fundraiser for soccer, men's
right.
soccer. So during basketball season, volleyball runs the concession. It's a fundraiser for them. So we try to hire the sport within the sport. So we pay them just like anybody else, but we put the money back into their sport.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, as a fundraiser for the coach, because we charge our coaches, when I say charge, we challenge them to raise $20,000 a year, and they've done a heck of a job of doing that.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So was this practice going on before you got there?
Yeah, the practice was going on before I got there. Like I said, Tammy Falk Day is just fabulous as far as being able to open my mind up to some things that wasn't happening in my previous university, so you could kind of see how you make money and how you keep your money in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's nice. So cross-country has concessions. What happens with cross-country is cross-country has track and field. So cross-country can keep cross-country's money within themselves because they can have their track and field kids work their concessions.
Mm-hmm. So everybody has buy-in and support, necessarily cheering, but being there, I'm here for you. I'm benefiting myself at the same time, but I like that. I really like that. Now, because usually I have seen institutions use their SAC.
Mm-hmm. But you overwork SAC. You
yes.
will overwork them. So, you know,
yeah.
they are not only are they leaders on the field, but then you ask them to be leaders within the institution. Now you ask them to be leaders within the student-athletes. And so when do they have time for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes SAC can be abused, overused. So we try to encourage all of our student-athletes to buy into this, and they do. It's it's no question. You know, one of my goals here was to get the student-athletes to get involved outside of just athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Get involved. So thinking of some things that they can do that will cross the bridge, because I talk to regular students here as well, cross the bridge between the regular students and the athletes. So we're really working on that. And so we even notice now that more of the regular students are starting to come to the games more often. And even they wouldn't, you wouldn't even know it, but most of our teams are regional teams.
Mm.
You know, so it's just a mindset, and we have to, you have to work on that part.
So there's one other part I've been alluding to, the EADA.
Okay.
But my question is, how were you able to come to a place, as be there for a short period of time, and get so many kudos as it relates to audits?
To audits. Okay, so one of the things I learned that, like I said, at Elizabeth City, my job was really to come there and coach, and next thing you know, I'm 11 years in doing compliance. So you have to build your relationships across the board with everybody. You know, it's institutional control. Compliance is an institutional matter. It's not just a compliance matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you teach people what their role is in athletics outside of athletics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're working with the accounting department or admissions, registrar's office, academic affairs, you have to not only share what you do, but then you bridge what they do and how does that work for athletics and why you are important to athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was able to do that at Elizabeth City, to where I learned how to do what everybody else was doing. And how you tie those things in together in order to do that EADA report or in order to do the ISSG. So now the people that I'm talking to, for example, the registrar's office, I can talk athletic language and the registrar understands athletic language.
Mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of times when you don't bridge that gap and communicate with people outside of athletics, they don't know. They get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to communicate well with them. And so when I got to Parkside, one of the things that was happening is the registrar and the financial aid, they kind of had a glimpse of what athletics and how they tie together, but we were able to attend a workshop, our Midwest regional workshop, and we were able to communicate with each other and sit down and talk and have meetings and actually learn what they do and what I do and how does that tie together. And so they were on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to treat the people outside of your athletic department who bring information like they're a part of the athletic department.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my things was you make sure I always give everybody gear.
Mm-hmm.
I need, when you come to the game, I need you to have on that Parkside Rangers shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I make sure that they don't have to ask. You just bring it. So
mm-hmm.
when I ask them for something or when I need to do something, they're ready and willing and able. So the communication piece here is awesome.
One of our other colleagues, Dianthea Ford Key, the AD at Mississippi Valley State University, she had me do a staff retreat for her, and she asked me to do the workshop I call Walk in Their Shoes,
mm-hmm.
where we first take the athletic department and have them walk through the shoes of other departments on campus. For instance, you don't go to the business office and ask for your traveling check. When is the day that refund checks are due back for students?
Right.
You know, you have to understand their day in the life of their life, you know.
Right, right.
Understand how the board of directors works with the president.
Right.
To understand when they're on campus, you better have the right kind of clothes on.
Okay. Correct, correct.
You know, and then when you see them with the president, you got to, you know, pump up the president at the same time, who that is, and those are their bosses.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not alumni that's the president's boss. It's the
right.
board of directors, the board of trustees. You have to understand it. And most of our coaches are just into their thing and want what they want. And so so that's one of the workshops called Walk in Their Shoes. And so definitely you got that down pat.
Yes. Well, the president here, Debbie Ford, I can't speak enough. She comes from the student affairs side. She comes to every single game. She actually walks from her house here.
Mm-hmm.
When I first met her in my interview, we talked about family and things like that, and she had just had a son graduate from high school, so she kind of like, I understand, you know, all the things that you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
She has not wavered. So one of our soccer games, I can remember my daughter get ready to run out on the field, and I was like, oh, my God, I got to get her. She was like, let her go, because mine done ran out there, ran past there, don't even worry about it. So when you have a supporting cast and able to have a president that she's engaged in athletics, very much so. So you get an opportunity to, you know, be able to talk with other people that are not in athletics. I'm on a board here, the head director's board. We meet every once a month, and we talk about all the things that are happening in your areas.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that make the decisions in all the other departments. So when you're able to sit at that table and say, hey, these are my issues and this is what I need, I could get that support.
What support? And it's been wonderful to have you support me, and you know I enjoy supporting you. And we're coming to the end of our hour. Oh, my goodness, we do have a caller on the air. Okay, 919. Who's on the air?
Coach Bumpus.
Who?
Nikki Bumpus.
Oh, hey, Coach Nikki, how you doing?
How are
get
you?
Your question
I was on,
in.
And then I had to get off, and then I had to come back. But she answered so many of my questions already, and just how to bond the campus and, you know, get other departments that are not pretty much athletically driven on board. I know when I first got here, we had a lot of extra gear to be able to do that. So now what I do is try to go over and just ask them, do they need help in their area? So it was great hearing Linda on today and getting some pointers. She's always really good at mentoring us and helping us. So I didn't have a direct question that she didn't answer today, but I'll definitely keep her in mind. She know I'll text her and ask her a lot of questions, but...
Well, this is how the garden works, because did Linda coach you, Nikki?
She did, as a student coach, like she talked about. She was a senior when I was a freshman at St. Paul's, and she's been coaching me ever since. When I got to St. Aug, I probably called her at least every day or every other day, and I don't think I let up a little bit since she's been gone to Wisconsin, but, no, she mentors me even as a coach and, you know, teaching me that coaching shouldn't be my last stop and just helping me look forward for the future. So I do thank her for all of her knowledge and just experience and sharing it with us young coaches. Even this year we had to go back and lean on her as the volleyball coaches. So, yeah, she coached me as a student, her and Kiana.
And lastly, don't you have some rings on your finger too?
I do, one in softball and one in volleyball, and she was very instrumental in that. I won volleyball championship my first year over here, and it was a tough year for me and learning my style and, you know, trying to step up professionally, and she really helped me with that.
Well, you know, I'm grinning over here. Y'all have just made my butt.
Yes,
this
ma'am.
This is what happens in the garden. This is what happens. This is where significance blooms. And so thank you, Nikki, for calling in and watering Linda with your warm thoughts. And, Linda, thank you so much for stepping in and being with me on a Chat the Garden today.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Bye, ladies.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye, Nikki.
And as always, I'd like to thank Clark Garrison of Survival Radio Network for having me join the family, the brand definer, Nikki Curry, for identifying this great opportunity. Join me next Tuesday, 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, when Doreen Johnson, the athletic director at Wilberforce University, will be our guest. For updates on show guests and podcasts, follow us on Facebook or Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day.
Oh yeah. Well, everybody's been so uptight and forgetting to live the life. Let all the problems get them down till it makes you want.